Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Injury Time, the I-League edition with me, Sandeep. And as always, we bring you the person in the know. And from Delhi, joining me from Delhi is Orko Bhattacharya. Orko, how are you doing, man?
Good, Sandeep. Good to be back.
Yes, of course. Good to hear your voice again, man. So, how is life?
Yeah, life is good. I-League seemingly is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm. And Chennai City are almost there at the finishing line.
Absolutely. And you are someone who is always, and I have to give you credit for this, because I remember doing the preview I-League podcast with you, and right off the bat, you were trumpeting Chennai and Churchill as potential dark horses, and seems to have come true. I think they just need one more win, and they're just through. So let's talk about Chennai. Why did you think that they would be the favorites, and have you been at all surprised at how things have panned out?
No, not really. I think in the past 2 years, you've expected the big clubs, quote unquote, the big two, and you know, and the others to include. So Chennai City, before the season, you saw that they recruited well. Arpana was obviously came with experience. Outside India. All in all, it shouldn't really be a surprise to us. And they've been really consistent since day one. I mean, I remember watching the first 3-4 games and I said, yeah, like this is the team to beat this season. And we vindicated in that. And Churchill also, of course, they've had a good season themselves. So, not quite there. Quite a few questionable decisions, like the decision to release Dauda, they say, who had like 9 assists. But all in all, I think both clubs deserve that dark horse status at the start of the season.
Yes, and now at the close to the end of the season, if you look at the top scoring lineup of the top 5 scorers, 3 are from Chennai: Manzi, Gordillo, and Rodriguez. So, do you subscribe to this theory that they have gotten very good foreigners and got away with it because these guys are scoring goals, or do you take the more holistic one, which is that the Indian boys are helping them get that goals and their stats up there?
I think everyone gets Spaniards, nowadays. Everyone has a Spaniard or two. It really depends upon how they play and how they gel well. And how well, they understand local players. I think it's been a holistic effort. Manzi, of course, you count on him to score a goal where it matters. But so has Plaza. The difference between the two teams is that, Manzi had more of a support cast. Not just the Spaniards, even the Indians, Like we keep mentioning names, Romario, Raju, and the rest. So... No, I mean, for me, it's 11 players, right, at the end of the day. So, Chennai City, Anwar really drilled them well. There were a couple of moments in the title run in when you thought they were slipping, but they seem to have, gotten back on track. So, great. Also, must go to the coaching setup also to instill that sort of mindset there.
Now, going from a team that is almost certainly going to win the title to a team that most likely blew it once again, this has become they should be charged for repeat offenders now. East Bengal, again, they drew with Arrows and Aizawl, two very winnable games that they had over the week, I think, since our last recording at least. And now you being from Kolkata and knowing these Kolkata clubs, what is it about them that they just can't get over the line? Because every year they come close or close enough to give hope and just kind of fade away towards the end.
I think for 1 year to look at their hire and fire policy. I mean, East Bengal again changed foreigners in the middle of the season. Of course, that worked out well for them, you know. I mean, pretty much well. I mean, I can say that Colorado and Santos have, you know, Jamie Colorado and Tony DeWall, I mean, have pulled their weight. But again, I mean, it's not a long-term approach, it's not a holistic approach. It's just a season-to-season approach, just a season doing this. This season, though, I mean, you know, I give credit to the coach. He's had them play some good football. They've had some, you know, bad luck with injuries. And, you know, on the face of it, yeah, they should have won, you know, the Arrows and the Aizawl match. I mean, considering they won the two derbies. But you also have to look at the fact that they lost to Chennai City.
Yeah.
So,
both legs.
Yeah, both legs. So, I mean, Chennai City definitely are not above them. But overall, yeah, I won't say that they've run away with the title. Like, the you know, table seems to indicate now. East Bengal again, a good fight. And you know, the most appropriate thing now for them to do would be to keep this coach and this core group of players. So, but, you know, like I always say, you don't know what's going to happen there. You don't know who's coming into power. Yeah, we know that Quest has taken over. They've tried to instill, you know, some practices there. But the team future, you know, is 99% going to play another league? Yeah, so they have a good springboard for next season. And yeah, I hope they keep this setup together.
Of course, let's hope with Quest and all interfering and probably the ISL being whatever the target is next season. Let's hope they do a little bit of continuity, which they could really use it. We'll give them a leg up also, considering their move, probably moving into a new league. So, moving on from there, let's talk about Kashmir. And we can't really talk about Kashmir without talking about the elephant in the room and all the things that has happened in the last one and a half weeks. Obviously, difficult times for people in Kashmir. But as a place where football is being or was being played, what would you make of... let's start from the first time that Minerva chose not to go. East Bengal, you know, since said a few things here and there. But Minerva decided not to go. And they had a huge backlash. AIFF said it was fine. Everybody, all clearance was done and that you should go and play the match. But has since subsequently cancelled the second division matches because of certain curfews. And now we know because it's kind of, I don't want to say a war zone, but not the safest of places to be in. So what do you think of the way, and I just want this from a completely administrative point of view, what do you think AIFF has done? How have they handled the situation?
Well, I mean, you know, in the wake of the terror attack, teams are always going to get finicky about visiting Srinagar. There's no doubt about that. And they're well within that right to, you know, to ask for a change of venue or a, you know, postponement of the game. Because, I mean, let's face it, the game doesn't come before everything else. There are some things which are bigger than the game. I mean, despite our, you know, wish to romanticize it. I met the Ara guys who were expected to play the second division game after the, you know, after their match against Hindustan in Delhi, and they said, play. They are chasing promotion, so you know they decided to go and play. But on that occasion, the security agencies didn't give the clearance, as opposed to, you know, the time that on that occasion, the match commission and the security agencies, possibly the two most important parties in the decision making process of, you know, whether this match is going to go ahead or not. They said yes, they want to play there. Then what happened was Minerva said we won't play if Minerva moves court. The I League regulations seemingly, you know, leave it up to the league committee. If they see there is a valid reason for the team to forfeit the fixture, since they, you know, decided to, you know, defer it to the, you know, the executive committee, you would think that the league committee saw appropriate, you know, reasoning in Minerva's court. But then you have to ask the question, if they saw appropriate reasoning, then they should have seen reasoning in, postponing the game. But the problem is that there are a lot of other games coming thick and fast. The I-League season also finished so that you can accommodate the Super Cup that's going to come next. So it's a bit of a problem. Yeah. The most appropriate thing would be to let them move the venue. And that happened in East Bengal's case. East Bengal, though, were more, they were more open to having a dialogue with their FA. They said, we would be going if we are forced to. I think that's exactly what they said. So, all in all, it's been a lot of, infighting between the parties, as you've seen. Which could have been handled better. I mean, at that very moment, they could have said, no, despite you guys saying it's fine, Real Kashmir also went to the league committee yesterday and said the time at which Minerva was supposed to be, at that time it was fine. We didn't have any, problems at that point and hosting them. So, I mean, all parties could have handled this better.
Yes, absolutely. I think I personally think AIFF, they were a little too steadfast in the sense that, like, we've seen the half of the French league fixtures, Ligue 1 fixtures being, postponed because of these issues that was going on there. So it's not uncommon for the football matches to be postponed or changed venues and all those kind of things depending on the political climate. But I would also like to say this. I saw Ranjit Bajaj's tweet saying that he's been vindicated and that there's always an issue and this and that. But maybe initially they did give clearance and later on they took off clearance because they kind of knew that the surgical strikes was going to happen and stuff like that and they had to protect it. So it may have been something that developed later on and AIFF was not in the know at the beginning when they cleared the Minerva match. You think that is a possibility? Because I feel maybe we should look into that also and not just jump into the emotional side of things.
Well, it's not just as you said. There was a lockdown that happened during the 19th to the later dates, the 21st. So there has been a clampdown there, and the AFF may not have known about it, but at the end of the day, it is the security agencies and the match commissioner who decide whether the game should go forward or not, right? So if these two are reasonably satisfied and we have to trust their judgment on it, I mean, we should all be satisfied. But at the end of the day, like I said, Minerva is well within their rights to ask for a change in venue. Right?
Absolutely.
If Ranjit Bajaj feels he is not safe there, Minerva not safe there, then he is. Right. And AIFF should have actually taken the request. Keep in mind that there have been previous altercations between the club and the federation. East Bengal again approached it. They possibly took East Bengal's request much more seriously. And even Real Kashmir, by the way, they asked for a change for the East Bengal match as well in the league committee meeting.
Absolutely. So, I think Delhi even offered to host it.
Yeah, they even offered to host it. Another ISL owner, he said, we go and play a friendly match there. So, better communication could have solved these problems, like half the problems in Indian football, really.
Okay. Can I ask you something? And this could be controversial, because this is not a question that I came up with. It's something that somebody mentioned. Do you think AIFF just wanted to get the I-League done as quickly as possible? There was an element of that is something that I heard. I don't particularly believe it, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
For us to say anything on this would be speculation. Right?
Absolutely.
But we have to consider the factors around this. Like I said, Super Cup is coming. There's a window 15-16 to the qualifiers. Wednesday to April 13th is the main tournament. I-League also being a league, it means that the final fixtures all have to be played at the same time. Yeah? So what happens is, you have kind of a tight schedule. Yeah, they could have pushed the final games back, but they didn't. Minerva could have sought a change in venue, which it possibly did. Real Kashmir also could have sought a change in venue. So, I don't think it's as much to do with the league being disposed of as much as, you know, as much there have been, there are other factors. You could also consider that the ISL was moving into its final stages, right? So, you know, with both the leagues getting over, I think they want to do it quickly. And, yeah, I mean, once they have their calendar set, it is kind of difficult because, I mean, I personally want to say this, that, you know, better fans leagues up, you know, outside. And they have this element of, you know, cancellation due to weather or other factors. They keep some days in hand. Unfortunately, here we don't have that concept because, you know, Minerva played after that. They played Minerva and they won 1-0. So, between, you know, their match in Jal Kashmir and the end of the, you know, leagues, there was hardly any time for them to, you know, reschedule this match. And that all comes down to planning, really.
Yes, absolutely. It all comes down to planning. Now, I don't want to talk too much about relegation because we've spoken about that before. So we'll just get on to the questions that we've picked up from Twitter. Vivek Mohan 81 at Footballwala. I'm getting his name right this time. He's asked, what is the real situation happening in Mohan Bagan camp? Conflicting reports are coming out from there. Have they found an investor or not? So I've also been getting tagged on some tweets from the Mohan Bagan fan club. And there seems to be some sort of political issue, I would say. So could you shed some light on it? Because I'm not really aware of it as much.
Well, I mean, just talks and talks. One name that has prominently been mentioned is that of Sanjeev Goenka and CSC, who also own ATK. Both reports have, you know, emerged. The first of him, you know, trying to, you know, get them to merge the two clubs, and the second report is of them, you know, trying to sponsor the Mohan Bagan. Right. So, I mean, you know, like Mohan Bagan sponsorship issue not been going on for, you know, it's not been going on for a long time. Because the fans are, you know, are getting more, you know, louder, like they were doing in East Bengal's case, and this is until Quest came. Like the fans seem to be widening up the fact that maybe it's not just the coaches or the players as far as, maybe it's the officials also who are probably stuck, you know, in an earlier era where they still think that, I mean, just putting money onto the problem will fix it. So you understand that some of these officials are from an era where they were the two biggest clubs in India. There was no other club with the spending power that they had, and they would just go into a market and get a player for 5x the, you know, their current salary. So, I mean, the clubs have been mismanaged. Let's not have any ways about it. The fact that, you know, Mohan Bagan won one title in 2013, and I actually struggle to remember when they won the title before that. Like, they haven't won the league title for 15 years now.
Yeah, they had a long, long time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be 15 years. So obviously the fans are not too pleased, right? I mean, they cannot be really pleased with not winning the league after, you know, their main competitor Bengaluru FC left for the ISL. I mean, these 2 years, especially, would have been very frustrating if you were a fan of any of those two clubs. So, the sponsorship issue, coming back to it, yes, you would think that a club, you know, with the size and, you know, I hate to use the word very liberally, but legacy, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, there is no getting around the fact that they are a legacy club.
Yes. You know, they're going to celebrate 130 years, I think, this year, 1889,
yeah,
if I'm not wrong. So, they are an institution in themselves. And in the past, you also, you know, had reports that Shah Rukh Khan wanted to buy a part of, you know, Shah Rukh Khan and presumably the same group that owns KKR wanted to buy, you know, stake in Mohan Bagan. The you would look at the fact that, you know, the Quest East Bengal officials are not really happy having ceded power to the Quest half of it. Or rather, you know, as the CEO puts it, he's someone who's elected by both Quest and East Bengal. So he really isn't taking sides. But, you know, they've made a hue and cry about it. So the Mohan Bagan guys, they look at these guys and say, oh, they've lost power now. do we also want to do the same here? So it's a game of who wants to, you know, who wants to keep power, who wants to, you know, who wants to consolidate it. And these are really, you know, issues that have been sorted out at a very, you know, higher level, at the board level and higher. So, I don't think they should have a problem. It's only, you know, case of when they get the sponsorship, because, you know, ISL will be opening up those slots very soon, right? There are also, again, reports that the ISL may not open two slots, may open one slot, thus maybe forcing Bagan to merge. We also are not very clear on what, you know, what's going to happen. But I think we'll find out. We'll find out. As soon as the league is over, I think the league committee will take into action. Hopefully they take a decision that's in the interest of all parties.
Yes, hopefully let's hope that everything goes well. But talking about something even more complicated, Naveen Peter, at Peter Speaking, the, you know, editor of the show, or the producer of the show, so to speak, who edits stuff, he's asked, if Chennai do go on to win the I-League, which looks likely, will we see a merger of the two leagues as has been put on hold for a year? Or and in this backdrop, what does the future mean for the clubs in the I-League 2 today? I think we have touched on this before, but any news on that?
Not really. Like I said, I mean, what we spoke about in the previous question is all the news we have, that, you know, ISL will open up slots from Calcutta. At least one of the clubs is expected to go to East Bengal, is expected to make it 99%. In all probability, Mohan Bagan will too. And I assume when Naveen asked about I-League 2, he's talking about the second division.
Second division.
Yeah, so I mean, we could see a third division league with all these teams in it, and the I-League becomes the de facto second division. Again, there's no two ways about it. The better Indian players have moved to the ISL, right? He's talking about the merger, but there is no merger. Let's stop calling it a merger, first of all.
There's an accusation club that is probably going to happen. They're going to acquire these two clubs.
Yeah. It's only one club, two clubs moving, you know, from the I-League to the ISL.
Chennai, being if they do go on to win the, and probably they will, that they will be promoted into the ISL? Because the other alternative is that you're actually looking at is a second division team in all technicality playing in the AFC Champions League qualifier. I mean, that should be probably be unheard of.
Yeah. We're also looking at the probability that the AFF really does nothing here. The AFF really does not designate ISL as a top division, I-League as a second division. I mean, I get what you're saying, right? But they've avoided this. Understand that they've avoided this for the last 5 years, so clarifying which the top tier league of India is. And I understand that, you know, AFC and FIFA have put pressure on them, but and, you know, you've avoided the issue for 5 years. What's to say that it will change in the sixth year, right?
So, because AFC has given them a deadline, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know. Like you said, AFC has given a deadline now, but you have to look at the fact that AFC and FIFA also looks upon India as a golden goose, that they've been willing to let this, and I'm going to call it drama. I'm going to call it drama because, I mean, today, the science of, you know, clubs in both leagues, they really don't know. It has no clarity. You have to explain Indian football to a newcomer to Indian football. You have to ask you, oh, what is the top tier league of India? You won't have a clear answer for it. So, I mean, there is no, they see that India is a golden goose. They may leave the federation to its own, you know, to its own devices. And what we heard is that the AFC and FIFA were more guidelines rather than, you know, impose anything on them. So, if they get the title, what's going to happen? The seven clubs, the eight clubs, including Chennai City, they stake a claim for being the top division, right? They go to FIFA, they go to AFC. I don't think these two will lift a finger, really, honestly speaking, right? So, for me, I mean, at this point, and I really have to ask, is it really, does it really matter if the IE is designated as a second division or it is less use of devices or it is discontinued? I mean, either way. I mean, we are looking at the 7-8 clubs as being, you know, technically in the second tier or maybe even shut down because they don't have the top tier to play in. So, I mean, you have to really think about, you know, if what decision will take. It's a tricky one for them also, but I don't think they're going to entertain anybody else who's not going to pay the franchise fee. Like, it's simple. You pay the franchise fee, you get in. And Rohit Sharma has very clearly said that, you know, we don't have any plans of playing the ISL, which means that he doesn't want to pay the steep franchise fee.
Yes, absolutely. And if I could add, if anything good came out of the situation that we've had with the two leagues finally running simultaneously, and you know, all the short end of the stick that I-League does get, it is the number of Indian players who are actually playing, because now there is two leagues and you can't play in both teams. Earlier, ISL players used to go from I-League and play ISL and come back. It's a great thing that everybody is playing. A lot more players are playing. So at least some good has come out of all this evil that is happening, so to speak. Moving on to the last question, which is Ruben Joe Joseph at Ruben Joe 14. He has asked, and we've read reports on this, about Sven Goran Eriksson, who Mr. Naveen Peter had a conversation with, and an interview with him can be found where he does speak of Asian football and Indian football a little bit to Naveen at that time, after the Thailand match that he had watched during in UAE. So the question is, Sven Goran Eriksson, if he comes in, what can he do that Constantine couldn't? And I know this is a tricky question. So, go right ahead. What do you think he can do if he does come in? And do you actually prefer that he came in?
No, it's not a tricky question. I'll just, you know, answer this in one word. The answer is nothing. Nothing really.
So, man, you could have sugarcoated it a little bit.
No, it's fine. I think Sven Goran Eriksson is an inspiring appointment. It is. I mean, why? The man is 71, right? He had his break at big clubs. He managed Philippines. But we saw in the AFC Cup, you know, Bonstange, Milovan Rajak, Stephen Constantine, if I may, that, you know, this whole thing of having Eastern European or, you know, Western European coaches and, you know, who are over their pitch, I think it's a failing model. So you may get like one out of, let's say, 20 candidates who will take you up. But what about the rest, really? I mean, if you look at our coaches since Sukhvinder Singh, none of them have really, you know, been able to have a sustained period of performance apart from Stephen, who won 12 years. But then again, you look at the quality of the profession. So, I don't know. For me, this Goran Eriksson is a real no-no. Secondly, he's the concern of getting the $250,000 a week.
There's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, but you'd assume the same one will ask for more.
Hmm.
You know, I'm not sure about how the financial factor of this deal. So, I mean, of course, the Celtics have more money today to sell out on coaches and beginners, right? But, I mean, how much is the question, right?
Yeah.
And I think we've spoken about the coach issue in the past. I mean, this, like, for me, Sven Goran, I mean, it might be my ignorance, but he's never struck me as a great tactician. Really not. I mean, there have been, you know, coaches who come in and really, what do you say, you know, change national teams. Not a lot, but Tim Burby, for example, who retired this time. Or, you know, Valid Halimovic, who managed so many. Or, you know, Agus Hiddink, for a matter. People who are experts in managing national teams and, you know, and creating something out of nothing. Sven Goran doesn't look to be in the same category for me. So, I have to tell Ruben Joe Joseph that this is you know, completely uninspiring for me.
Yes, I guess we kind of agree on that a little bit too. So on that bombshell, I think that's just about all we have for this episode. Thank you, Orko. I know you're busy covering the Indian Grand Prix. Thank you for taking the time and having this chat.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thank you, as usual, for having me on the pod.
So, listeners, we are on Spotify now, as you can see on our Twitter feed. So, please feel free to listen to all our shows. We really enjoy your feedback. And till the next episode, keep watching and enjoy the game.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.